Awesome, man. Praise God for that. That's awesome. And again, just as always, once a month we do this. And as you continue to just bless us as a church through the generosity you give back to God, we love to be stewards of that money to give out in our community and organizations of people. So again, just we're passing that on in the name of Jesus. If you want to find out more about our Dollar Club, you can find that on our website and read about that, find other stories. Just an amazing thing to be a part of. Well, with that said, I want to say good morning to all of you. I'm so glad that you made it. My name's Andy. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors. And before we get to the message, I just want to mention a few things. First of all, my finger, I did not realize it would stick out this much, but obviously it has because people have said, what's wrong with your finger? So last night, my daughter was trying to figure out whether this color worked or not, and I was her guinea pig, okay? And she wanted to test it, and I said, sure. And so I'm not making a statement. I'm just being a good dad, everybody. So, and she challenged me. She goes, will you do it up front? And I said, sure, because nobody will notice. And I'm like, that's really noticeable. So there it is. Just being a good dad, all right? So there you go. Kiwi green is what it is. A couple other things just to kind of put in your place. Blair mentioned the night of worship. I just want to, again, put this in front of you. So that's next Sunday, 6:30. We only do that a few times a year. Put that on your calendars. Always was highlight for most people to come to make sure that. And then just really quick, I want to highlight our prayer service. So every Monday, we just started this in January. Every Monday we get here. Well, we didn't just start. We want to be more public about it. That we come here at 7 o'clock every single Monday. Anyone's invited to come. And it's just a guided time of praying for the church, and we have stations and where we come together corporately and we do a few things together, and then we go into stations and pray. So I just want to invite anybody who wants to be a part of that, come tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, check it out, see if that's something that God wants to put in your movement, your spiritual movement. So just, you could come tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, and every Monday after that. And then also, really quick, next week we're going to start a study in the book of Luke that's going to take us from next week all the way to Easter Sunday. And I'm highlighting that because we're really excited about it, but we also have a reading plan for you that is out there in the lobby if you want to grab that, and it's going to take you through the entire book of Luke in 9 weeks. So you could grab that today. I know a lot of you like being ahead of it. So if you want to be ahead of it and grab it today and start reading this week to be ready for each week, or you can start next week, however you want to do that. So our reading plans are out there as well. And then with all of that, one more thing. I just want to take a minute and give all of you like a quick state of the church to you. So this past week, we met as a board, and it was brought to my attention. I didn't realize this, but we are pretty full. I didn't know that. I didn't notice it. I don't know if you know. I'm just kidding. I noticed it, all right? Like, we are very full in a church. But all joking aside, I do want to let you know that we are seeing growth everywhere, and it's awesome. It's an amazing thing to see. It's something we celebrate. It's something we are encourage that more people are coming to find out about God and how God works in our lives and following Jesus. We're seeing a lot more new people come every single Sunday. But with that growth, I just want to let you all know, we also acknowledge the challenges that are coming that we're facing. I just want to tell you, we see it as well. We see it too. So just bottom line, here's the deal. We have run out of room in every single ministry area, every single one. So we are full in here for both services. We are absolutely full in all of our kids' ministries, from nursery all the way to fifth grade. Our middle school is full. Our parking lot, I don't have to tell you, is full. And we have exhausted almost every single thing we could in trying to get that better. We've done everything from the DOH to we've done everything possible to improve the exit time, but that is full. And then on top of all that, you just need to know this. We've said this, but our student ministry is killing it, man. Like, so on our monthly momentum, we're seeing 200 students come. Come on, somebody. 200 students come on our monthly meet. Just, man, it's just amazing. So here are some next steps that I want to get all of you up to speed on, and then also maybe a couple of you honestly might be able to help. We just that's why we're going to talk about this. So short, I'm going to give you short term, long term. So short term, we have a few things we're exploring with a construction team, a contract team, to see how we can maximize every single inch of this facility without compromising any parking spaces, because we can't do that. So we're looking in to that. We're also looking in, three services is on the table, everybody. everybody. I'm just letting you know, giving you a fair warning. Three services is probably going to come. But even with those things, here's what we are confident with what we're seeing God do. It's just going to provide a small relief with doing both of those things. So here's the long term, all right? Here's the long term. We are praying and we are looking to see what is available for a larger facility in our community, somewhere in our community. That's our big time prayer. That's our God thing that we want to see happening. So one, please join us in praying for that, because that has to be a God thing, especially now this the properties and all this stuff are going crazy around here. But here's what I also want to say. If you're here and you happen to be just kind of sitting on, I don't know, 15, 20 acres, we'd love to talk to you, all right? Like, we love it. And if you're like, man, God, I don't know what to do with this amazing land, right? Even if it's accessible, we just, you know. But honestly, I'm joking, but I'm not. Like, you just, we want to open this up because, man, maybe somebody here has a solution. Maybe somebody has a contact. Maybe somebody knows something that we don't know. And I just want to open that up to see what solutions God can bring to us as a result of that. So if you have any information, if you know someone, or if you want to see, you know, if you feel like this is something happening, man, come let us know. Reach out to the church, find Chad or Blair or myself. We would love to talk to you about that. But I just do want to say, with all that said, man, God is so good. Amen, everybody. Like, this is a great problem to see. And yeah, it's an awesome thing to see and have. He's moving here in a way we cannot explain. We don't understand. It's overwhelming at times, but praise God in the name of Jesus, okay? So let me just, with all that, pray for us, and then we'll get moving in the word. All right, God, we come to you. It's humbling to see what you're doing here. It's not because of any human stuff. You're moving in this place. We're seeing people come to know Jesus. We're seeing baptisms like we've never seen before in the last couple years, and all we want to do is just be good stewards of what you are doing. We believe that there is a step for us to take. I pray over this church. I pray just for whatever that step is, God, we can see it clearly, that we know that you are the one directing our way. And for, I just pray over anyone who's maybe got some things going or things that they're thinking, just help us all together as a church be united in this, to see more people come to know you, grow the kingdom, and just follow you for the rest of our lives. We love you. We need you, and I just pray that, a blessing in that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, good stuff to talk about, right? Well, hey, we are wrapping up our series, and I actually joke with the board because I've been on time the last 2 weeks, and now I said, well, there we go. Now it's blowing my being on time out of the water. Okay, but today we are going to conclude this series in relationships. We're going to talk about one more thing. We're going to look at how we protect our marriage. We want to protect our marriage because, everybody, listen, the last thing that we want to see happen in a marriage is a divorce. We don't want to see that happen. We talked a few weeks ago about the fact that God hates divorce. And again, that's pretty strong language. I know for quite a few of you, it kind of took you back that actually is in there. And if you want to know where it is, here it is. It's in Malachi 2:16. It says this: "For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel." And in other translations like the ESV, it says this instead. It says that the man who does not love his wife but divorces her, listen, covers his garment with violence. Violence, again, really strong language on divorce. But I want to talk about this for a second, just so that we understand, like, what you need to see is that God is not saying that he hates divorced people. No, that's not what he's saying. He is saying that what he hates is when anything that is meant to display his love and display his glory and his fulfillment, when that gets distorted, when that gets messed up, and then when hurt comes in and relationships experience fractured and broken things. See, it's all of that collateral damage that God is opposed to. That's what he's saying. And listen, that damage that happens, that's not just God's opinion on that. That's not what God is saying. Man, it's universally accepted of what this actually does. In fact, I was looking into this. There was a study done all the way back in the 60s by these two guys, Drs. Thomas Holmes and Richard Ray, and they did a study to investigate the relationship between stress and illness and all these things. So they took 5,000 people and did a survey, and they covered 43 common stressful events, and they assigned numbers to each one of these things, and then they got feedback from people. And here's what they actually found. They found that the most stressful event that you could go through is the death of a spouse or a loved one in your family. That was number one. It was 100 out of 100. Okay, that's the most stressful thing you can experience in life. Some of you in here have experienced that. That's what is true. But then this is what's interesting. The second most stressful event is a divorce or separation from a spouse. And so, gang, listen, what this is showing us is that however it happens, the end of a marriage is one of the most painful things you can go through in this life. See, that's why God is saying, I hate it. I hate it for you. That's what God is saying. So With that said, I do want to cover this because a couple questions that people have. Here's a couple. When is, though, divorce permitted? Even it's because it does happen. So when is it permitted? Is there ever a time where God says it's okay to have a divorce? The fact is, why I say this, because there's several in here, you are a part of a divorce that you really didn't want, right? You opposed it, but you didn't have a choice. It just happened. Some of you may have done something to cause a divorce and you wish it didn't happen. You tried your best to get it reconciled, but it just happened and you're wondering how God sees you as the person who did the offense or person who did. You're wondering, man, how does God see me? You know, can it be forgiven? Can it be totally redeemed? So let me just tell you something here before we get going. I'll just say, it takes two to make a marriage last. It takes two to make a marriage go, and you can't save a marriage by yourself. I wish I could say you could, you can't. Sometimes no matter what you do, it's not going to be safe. Sometimes circumstances are beyond your control. But to answer the question on whether or not there are times where it's an option, the Bible does cover that. The Bible talks about a couple of circumstances. And so I'm going to give you these circumstances, but then at the end, I'm going to give you a gospel note on the end of these. So just really quick, the first circumstance where it could happen is adultery, that the Bible is clear on that, that when a spouse cheats and breaks the covenant through adultery, what he's saying is that the damage done could be so bad, so harsh, that even though God wouldn't command that divorce to happen, he could give room for that. So an example is if it's unrepentant, they just don't want for, you know, they're like, I don't care that I did, right? Certain circumstances within adultery, that's an appropriate course of action. Here's a second biblical reason. It's abandonment. So in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul speaks into a situation where he's talking to the church in Corinth, and what happened was a married couple, one of them became a follower of Jesus and the other didn't. And the person who didn't just left the marriage. They abandoned the marriage. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:15 that, hey, if your spouse wants to abandon the marriage, you can't stop them. Okay, God gives room for that. He permits that divorce. And there are other ways. There are other ways where behavior can constitute spiritual abandonment of your spouse. There's emotional withdrawal, that it could get so severe that that is an abandonment. There's neglect. There's refusal to fulfill marital responsibilities. There's also intentionally leading your family away from God. And so if the spouse chooses those ways, that's abandoning you spiritually, and you can't stop them or they won't change or the intervention won't work, then God makes concessions for that to happen. And then the third one would be abuse. Abuse. So just as clearly as I can get, if you're being abused and if your kids are being abused, you need to get out. You need to get out in the name of Jesus. You need to call the authorities. You need to get help and you need to get out. Because if someone is abusing you, they are acting like an unbeliever. And under 1 Corinthians 7, they are abandoning you in what God's call is on their life. So you are not held to stay within that abuse. Okay, I just want to say that as clearly as I can. So those are the reasons why God would give permission. Now, with that said, though, here's like the gospel note. This is the gospel note I want to emphasize. So even though divorce is permissible, okay, even though it is permissible in certain situations, it should not be your first response or even maybe even your second response in Christian lives, because it should always be the last resort. That, like for Christians, it should be the last resort. So our calling as believers and followers of Jesus is to always seek out reconciliation, always to go after it and exhaust every resource that we can to find reconciliation first. And we just got to believe that that's possible. Everybody, because listen, if the tomb is empty, anything's possible. Amen, everybody? So we do that first, but it's got to be the last resort, not the first response, okay? And I will also say that while God does allow and give provision for this, then he would give room for remarriage. I think that's the next question. It's like, is it okay that I get remarried? And my answer is that depends on the unique situation. It depends on the circumstance. So some of you may have had biblical reasons for divorce, but I would say that you still should really consider carefully before you remarry. Like that's just something you got to work through that with God. And then I think there are some of you that have gone through that. And I think the wisest thing is to get married. It might be the healthiest option. There's just no one size fits all in that. But here's the thing, wherever that it lands with you, here's what I want to say. I want to say this most importantly. I want you to hear this. God is so good. God is so good. And so whether you've broken your vows or you've been the victim of someone else breaking theirs, you have a God who will never, ever break his covenant with you. Never, ever. So I don't want you to read into that with who God is and what he does. So here's what I want to say. If you have forgiven where you need to forgive, Or if you have sought out that forgiveness where you need to do that, that God shows you that, then listen, then there is now no condemnation for those of you who are in Christ Jesus. You are not a second-class citizen, right? You are not damaged goods. So I just want to make sure that we cover that before we get into this next part. And I do think it matters to talk about that before we get into this next thing with the rest of the message. And I hope we pay attention to it. Because, gang, I hope you see what's on the line. We don't want to be in that area of life. There's just so much damage that can be done. And God's like, I just don't want you to be there. So we will need to see that. Because here's what I'll say. One of the major reasons why marriages and divorce, or why divorce happens, it's not even because of those three things that I just talked about. You know why a lot of marriages don't make it? Here's why a lot of marriages don't make it. It's because people just stop investing in their marriage. They just stop investing in their marriage. So we're going to talk about how we do that, everybody. We're going to see what God says about that and see how we protect our marriage. So a few weeks ago, this was the verse that I brought up. This was like the verse that we want to talk about with marriage. It's Ephesians 5:21. That it starts here, that we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, right? And then the next 12 verses kind of covers the roles and responsibilities that husbands and wives have. But it's all in the light of this one verse that we check our egos at the door, that we check ourselves there, and we let Jesus be the real leader of our lives and of our marriage. That here's what I'll tell you, that if you want the best path to a great marriage, if you want real peace in relationships, this is it right here. Like, you don't need to look any further. To which all of our married couples in here would say, well, yeah, Ephesians 5:21, baby, that's all I needed, right? And we lived happily ever after, and everything is great because you complete me, right? Hey, and everybody said amen. Wait, you don't? Like, that's not what it is? It's not, is it? It's not. That's not the complete picture. Because here's the other truth, all right? We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 7:28. And I love the Bible, because the Bible not only tells us the truth that we need here, it also gives us help along the way. Come on, somebody, because here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 7:28. But yet those who will marry will have worldly troubles. Now we'll all say amen, right? Like, there we go. I love the Bible. Let me help you here. We'll have troubles. So here's the truth. Here's the truth. Even in marriages that I would say are just crushing it, for God, living for God, going after God, there's still challenges. There's still things that are gonna be tensions at times in a marriage. There's gonna be some brokenness because we're human beings. And so here's what this means, everybody. What that means is we gotta put in some work to protect our marriage from worldly troubles. That's what we're going to look at, okay? So last week, Chad opened this up by talking about how we handle conflict within the marriage. God has a specific plan for us that the world doesn't communicate to us, and that we have a great plan, a great roadmap to follow. And so here's how I'm going to end this today. This is it. Really easy. If you have your notes, get them out there. I'm going to talk about two things. Just two things that if you do these consistently over time, it will protect your marriage and it will keep it strong for the long haul, okay? It's like a mantra that I want us married people to have. So I'm gonna make these like two declarations that we say to each other. Here's the first one if you're writing these down. First declaration is we will ruthlessly eliminate risks. That's the first thing that we do to protect our marriage. Hey, everybody, listen, we gotta draw some lines in the sand. Amen. We got to draw some lines in the sand. You have to. No marriage goes from okay to good to really great without by accident. You got to draw some lines in the sand. Here are three ways that we do that to eliminate risk. First way that we do that is we eliminate risk through community. Through community. One of the best ways to protect your marriage is to surround yourself with other marriages that are going after the same thing, where you are prayed over, where you are known as a married couple. Listen, where your spiritual progress, just because you're meeting consistently with them, is seen and known and just at least talked about just a little bit in your life. You have to find that. You have to find it, everybody. Here's what I'll say. Listen, if you show me a marriage that's in a tailspin and going out of control, more than likely, it is a marriage that is isolated from biblical community. You can make book on that. I'm telling you, it's isolated from biblical community. And so you got to be around other couples who are going after God together, where you can just pray for each other and do these things together with God. And I want to say this, don't confuse being around, because you got to go beyond this Sunday thing. Don't confuse being around people with being known. You hear what I'm saying? Got to be known by people. The other way that you do it is through integrity. Through integrity. So integrity in the New Testament, here's what it means. It means honesty and adherence to a pattern of good works. That's what integrity. Honesty and adherence to a pattern of good works. So integrity in a marriage looks like this. It looks like this: doing what you say you'll do, okay? Being honest about how you are doing and how you're feeling, like sharing things that you're feeling, and then remaining faithful to each other. That's what it looks like. Doing what you say you'll do, being honest about who you are, what you're feeling and thinking, and remaining faithful to each other. And I'm gonna tell you, everybody, listen, I think there's a lot of issues that happen within this one. I think there's a temptation out in the world that we accept. The temptation is, well, I don't wanna really rock the boat. I don't wanna bring all this, like, this stuff in. So you know what? Like, the things I'm thinking, the things that I'm feeling, like even the things that we've done, even if they're not huge, big things, we just kind of hide it because we don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to, like, you know, do any of these things. We don't want to bring conflict in. And I'm just telling you, integrity means something different though, everybody. We got to believe the truth in this with God. See, integrity means being honest about how you feel, being honest about what you think. And here's what I'll tell you. The more you practice honesty, the more you will eliminate risks in your marriage. The more honest you are, the more you eliminate the risk that will harm the relationship, okay? Just listen, being honest with each other, I know that sounds simple. I'm telling you, you'd be surprised how many marriages are not doing that. But it would just eliminate so many big risks that complicate and implode a marriage. Being honest is better every single time. So integrity. And then here's a third way that we eliminate risk is through access. Everybody, listen, this one is so big. This one's so big. Here's what I will say with this one. So here it is, married people. Can your spouse go to your phone, go to your computer, whatever device they want to do, and just open it up without you losing your mind on them? Like, why didn't you ask me to get that? I'm just being serious here. Do they know your passwords? Can they get in there? And it's not a big deal if they do, if they're looking on your phone or whatever it is, okay? I get how this sounds. Like I know what I'm saying sounds crazy to some people, but I'm just laying out what protected marriages do, everybody, okay? I'm just telling you. And you will, just again, you can take my, I guess, my opinion. You will get more intimacy when you give out more privacy. Right? Like when you give them, like you're probably, you will get way more intimacy when you give that over. I think so many marriages are compromising intimacy because you're holding on to privacy. That's just what I believe. I know, Courtney and I, we know that. We see that. We see the reality of that and we believe it 100%, okay? You drop intimacy every time you hold on to privacy. You can't say that you 100% trust someone, but that you are private in your marriage. I'm just saying, okay? And listen, I am not giving you popular things to do, okay? Like, I'm giving you things to think about to eliminate risks. This is what we do to eliminate risks. That's why the percentage of divorce is so high, everybody. I'm just telling you. We eliminate risks. Here's the second declaration that we will make. We will radically invest for rewards. We will radically invest for rewards. So every marriage, actually think about it. Like, I think every marriage actually invests in something. Sometimes they're just not good things. Like, I think every marriage is investing in something. Like, I don't think you're ever not investing. So good marriages want to invest in the right thing. So what do we invest in? And here's the thing, there's a lot of things that you can do, but here's what I want to do. I want to give you three things that I believe if you can really put your time and energy in, I know this is true because Courtney and I do it. We're not perfect at it, but we work hard at just these three things. The reward will come. The reward will come. So, and I want to make this easy. So if you think about, like, how you're made up, I think this will make more sense in a marriage in what we invest in. So when you look at how God made you, there are like three big components that you're made up with, okay? So the first one, you have a body, right? So that's like the physical component that we have, pretty easy to see. That's the first component that we have in our makeup. The second one is we have a soul, right? That we have a soul part of it. That's like our emotions, our mind, our will. Those are things that we're made up. God gave us that. And then the third thing that he gave us is actually, we're the only created things that have this one. No other created thing has it other than human beings. He actually put a spirit inside of you. He put a spirit inside. So that is the part that is like him. It's a part. Here's what I'll tell you, everybody. This is what I believe. Whether you believe in God or not, say you believe in God or not, whatever it is, I believe there's a part in every single human being ever made that is actually going after on a journey to find God. It's like a beacon that God puts in every soul. I just believe that, and I know that that's true because it says God put eternity in every single heart. He put a beacon in it. So those are the three things that we're made up with, and here's what I want to put forward. So in a marriage, if we can invest in those three things, the reward will be great. It will be great. So let's look at each one of these, all right? We have emotional, we have spiritual, we have physical. The way I actually like to say it is this way so you don't forget it. We want to play together, pray together, lay together. I thought that was pretty good. We want to play together, pray together, and lay together, okay? Like, so we'll talk about that. If you got kids, it's coming. So, okay, just get them ready. All right, here we go. Or you can get out of the room. All right, so let's look at each one of these. The first one that we're going to do is look at the verse first. I love this verse, Ecclesiastes 9:9. He says this. He says, live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life that God has given you under the sun. The wife God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil. I love that verse. I love that verse. And I think even though it's kind of talking about husbands, I think it's for both of us. Because I love what God is saying here. This is what God wants. Man, he wants you to live happily together. He wants you to live happily together. And he's saying, man, if you do, you will get a reward. There is a reward if we go after what we want to. Okay, so three areas that we invest in. The first one is that we invest emotionally. We invest emotionally in our marriage. This is the soul. So listen, the soul needs fed. Your soul, my soul needs fed. And I will tell you, in a marriage, the person who is primarily responsible, human, not God, is your spouse to fill that emotional tank. I'm just telling you, that is our job. That is our responsibility to make sure our emotional tanks as best as we can to fill it up for our spouse. And the easiest, biggest way you could do that is with something we all have, your words. Words, man, words matter. Here's the deal. Most people's emotional tank is either empty or filled by words, by words. Look at how Peter talks about this. This is what he says in 1 Peter 3. He says, so finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. In other words, what he's saying is like, be careful with your words. Because listen, harsh words in the home, harsh words are gonna break and break down the emotional connection that you have. And everybody, I'm just trying to tell you, that's what's happening. That's what's happening in more Christian homes than we think, that we're not filling the emotional tank with the things that we're saying. We're actually destroying it with the things we're saying. So he goes, no. So on the contrary, here's what we do. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were also called, that you may inherit a blessing. And so what he's saying is like, so you got to learn to do this. This isn't natural. You got to speak blessings into your spouse's lives, into each other's lives, and that will fill the emotional tank. And here's what I will tell you. This comes from experience. Oftentimes, the first thing I want to say is not the blessing. I got to think about that and take a pause, be like, well, that's not the blessing. I'll say this instead, okay? I'm just saying, some of us hit the pause button a little bit in the middle of a conversation, and we'll find the blessings that come as a result. So you know what I'm saying? Guys, you know what I'm saying. So anyways, just looking at your marriage. Here's what I want to say. Looking at your marriage, would you say that your words are more building up, encouraging, believing the best first, right? Or are they more neutral? Neutral is just as bad as negative. Negative and defensive. Listen, I will tell you this again. It is your job. It is your job to be concerned about your spouse's emotional tank. God's the one that fills it all. Ultimately, we have a part to play in. Amen, everybody? So we just got to be, man, our words are so powerful. I'm telling you, man, it's in you. And I will tell you that. It is in you to speak those kind of words. And it can be the most powerful thing to do on a consistent basis. So we invest emotionally. Here's the second one. Invest physically. We want to invest physically. So the Bible talks about physical intimacy all over the place. There's an entire book of the Bible dedicated to that. And so it is so important for marriages to be invested in your physical intimacy. And so I am going to talk about this for a sec, okay? And I'm going to talk about the word that rhymes with sec, okay? So again, plug your kids' ears if you want, or this is your moment to get out if you want. I'm going to talk about it, all right? And we have a great kids' ministry over there, and we do that for that reason. So we talk about adult stuff every now and then, all right? So that's as much time as I could give you. Okay, but listen, here we go, okay? There is a real art to physical intimacy in a marriage. It doesn't just happen. Like, there's an art to this being a beautiful thing. And here's what I will tell you. I believe God's way is the only way to work all the way. You hear what I'm saying? Like, I believe God's way is there. So here's what God says. This is in Proverbs 5. I was going to use Song of Solomon, but I thought I'd give you more of a warning before I did that. It's saucy. Here we go. Proverbs 5, but it's great. It's edifying and it's for us. But here's, I love this. Proverbs 5, 18 and 19 says this. Okay, so may your fountain be blessed. And may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breast satisfy you always. I love this. May you ever be, I love it, intoxicated with her love. Listen, everybody, look, this is what God is saying. This is what God is saying to us. This is what his blessing wants to be for our marriages, okay? And as you, here's what I want to say. As you read scriptures about this, about our intimacy with each other, there's a lot of analogies that God actually uses for us. Like he talks about fountains and wells, and you kind of figure out who's who on that one. And then he also talks, and he gives analogies a lot, and he talks a lot about deer and doe, okay? He talks about deer and doe in a lot of places. And here's what I will tell you, dudes. Listen, being in West Virginia, you should totally know what God's throwing out there about deer, okay? Like, I'm just, let me share it for a minute, all right? Like, this is talking about your approach in physical intimacy. You need to understand your approach when it comes to this. So here it is. If you are deer hunting, right? How do you go to your deer stand? You tiptoe, you're quiet, like, oh, yeah, you know, like that. You're not going, hey, oh, yeah. Why? Deer run away. They just run away. You gotta watch. So here's the, you get it, right? You get what I'm saying, right? Right? The hunt's over. Like, it's over. It's like over. Just live to play another day. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you heard what I'm saying. So here's God's message. Here's God's message, guys. Here's what he's saying. Listen, this is very important. Don't do anything that cheapens a relationship here. Hey, don't do anything that does that. God's message to us is not the same as what our culture is sending us, especially with the graphic images and the pornography that is normalizing. That is not normal, everybody. That is abnormal. Unfortunately, our culture just accepts that as normal. So much damage is being done when you watch that stuff. You know this, right? Way more than you would ever think. Way more. Man, it just desensitizes you. It will fill your heads with things that are absolute fallacies when it comes to what intimacy really is. I'm just telling you. And it will damage your approach. It will damage your approach. Just like, so God is saying, hey, don't do that junk. Don't bring that junk in. And he's saying, in fact, it's destroying you. It's destroying your approach. But if you approach it this way, if you approach it my way, if you invest in your wife this way, here's what, I love it. It will be intoxicating. It will be intoxicating if you follow God's way, okay? So if men need to be careful about our approach, then women, like, here's what we need. Just make an approach, okay? Like, that's all we need. Like, just, like, but back to the deer analogy. Like, if we're hunting and the deer just wants to go, hey, we'll be like, hey, like, that's all we need. Just work on it. I just have one, okay? That's all I'm saying. Moving on. God will bless it. And be careful about how much denying is going on. That could really make a mess of things. You hear what I'm saying? Be careful of that. So physical intimacy is such an important thing in marriage. And it doesn't just mean sex. It's touch. It's how you look at each other. Man, it's how you look at each other. It's meeting each other's needs by becoming one flesh and spirit and soul. And so we invest physically. Here's the last one. We invest spiritually. Find something to do together for God. That's all I want to say. Find something to do. Man, maybe it's doing a ministry together, serving here on Sunday morning together. Like, just find, maybe doing missions together, serving in a shelter together. I'm telling you something. You don't have to do it here. All right, one of the best things that Courtney and I do every single year is we do the Big Kick Skit together. If you've been there, you know. Like, we love it. Like, we're going straight after ministry together. We talk about it. We love it. It's just, we love doing that together. And I just want to give you a note on this one as far as praying together. Man, you just got to start somewhere. Like, there are all kinds of different ways you pray. There's not one way you do it. Find the way that works for you, whether it's praying out loud, maybe you're text prayers to each other during the day at work or something like that. Courtney's awesome at that, like, where she'll text prayers that when I ask her, like, just find a way that actually works with you and to meet each other's prayer requests to God. Easy, right? Just a few more things and then we'll be done. Do date nights. These are like almost drive-bys real quick. Do a couple night getaway a year or something. You don't have to make it real expensive. Big one here. Listen to me. Stay curious about your spouse. Stay curious about them. I guarantee in every marriage and every single one, there have been subtle changes in taste. There have been subtle changes in what you like and things you want to do and opinions that you have. The only reason you don't know about that is because you don't stay curious enough to ask them, like, hey, what have you been thinking lately? Hey, what's God been doing in your life lately? Just stay curious. And that's the number one attractor from somebody else is curiosity. Did you know that? Why don't you be the curious one then, right? So just a couple little things like that, okay? And so for Christians, here's my challenge, right? Here it is for the whole series. When you look at your marriage, do you want a godly marriage, or do you want one where you're just kind of limping along hoping it works out by just coming here? Man, that's not what we want. Go after it. God gives us the recipe. He gives us every single thing that we, all the ingredients are there. All the ingredients are there to follow God and go after a godly marriage. And for those of us who do that, we just check our egos at the door. We walk humbly with God. We allow him to bless our relationship and allow grace and love and truth to come in. It is all in with God. It is all in with God. Come on, man, let's go all in with God in our marriage. Amen, everybody? All right, let me pray for us. God, thank you for just giving us this message and how important it is in relationships. And marriage is one of those relationships, so important. Such a picture of the relationship you want to have with us. I pray for strength in our marriages. I pray that we are just not okay with just being okay. We want to see our marriages be great. And you can give us that ability. So I pray that we just put some effort forward. Give us the courage to have a great conversation this week with our spouses where we need to talk or we need to be encouraged. Don't let us be afraid of what could happen. Let us be encouraged of what you will do. I pray that in our marriages. We love you. And we're so thankful over the last couple weeks of what you've already done in marriages. I pray that continues on with the relationships that are in this room and listening. We love you and we pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.